The scripture reading for this evening will be coming from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables. The sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck.
Definitely sets a tone for my lesson. And if you give me a minute here, I will get the computer up and running and select my PowerPoint presentation. You can see right there, it's Old Man Sermon. I don't know if that gives you a hint or not. We just read Proverbs verses 1 through 9. Let me get my binder up here, which is my notes. Let me turn this off so it won't make noise. There we go. Read from Proverbs, written by Solomon, probably one of the most wise men ever lived. And basically, he wanted to impart some wisdom to younger people. And so he wrote the book of Proverbs. And I think if there was ever a book to live by, it would be the book of Proverbs. Now, you've heard me do another lesson from the book of Proverbs. And I'll tell you, I'm a big fan of the wisdom of the Bible. I'm a big fan of God's wisdom because I believe he wants what's best for all of us. Whether we think so or not, God really does want the best for all of us. And he wants it in this life as well as in the next. We think a lot about eternity, spending eternity with God, but he wants what's best for all of us. So this is lessons from a 60-year-old man and a 6,000-year-old book. Now, the 6,000-year-old book, obviously the Bible, it's not really 6,000 years old, but the story starts about 6,000 years old, doesn't it? And if you're one who believes in the possibility of a young earth that God created, you know, it's not beyond a stretch to think that this is a 6,000-year-old book. The story goes back. My sermons have been said to be practical. I think you'll find this one is no different. We older folks, and I put myself in that category. By the way, when I wrote this, this is a repeat lesson. Now, some of you may remember this from the other building. Is there anybody, show of hands, anybody remember me doing this? Okay, I have one hand. That's good. Oh, maybe two. All right, that's good. Way in the back. Somebody, young people remember. That's good. But I'm 68 now, so you know about how long ago it was I did this lesson. We were back in the old building. And I'm going to repeat it because there's some very good information in here that I think it does not hurt us to hear it again. So we older folks need to train the young. And this is one way to do it. For me to get up and preach some biblical wisdom that you young people, and you put yourself in whatever category. You know, we got some really young ones, and then some moderately young ones, and then some young married ones. And then some that are older that just think they're still young. So you've put yourself into whatever category. But I'm going to preach basically or teach basically to the old and the young. And my father was very good at giving me Bible wisdom. He started me out chewing on the wisdom of the Bible. And he was a big advocate of that. And he taught a lot of Bible wisdom in our home. And based on the advice that started me on a path... He started me out on a path of becoming a Christian and serving God. I also made a habit of listening to older folks that I respected as a young man. So I think that this is a good thing to do. I hope you agree with me. I hope you young people will agree with me that it's a good thing to do. And I hope you older folks will be challenged by this lesson to possibly do a little bit more in instructing the young. And not necessarily your own children, but those that are around you in the church or in other environments. Friends of children can sometimes be influenced by you in ways that you would not believe. So we're going to have 7 points to ponder tonight. Each of these 7 points could be a lesson in itself. So this is going to be a relatively short lesson, and I'll probably get through this pretty quickly, and then we'll go on out in the world and try and apply this. The mission here, though, is to get us to think more seriously about our lives and our actions, especially if you're young. Okay, that's good. I got a head from a young person shaking up and down. That's great. I love to see that. So point number one of the 7 points, and by the way, these old folks up here in the picture, that's my folks. They're really nice people. Both of them have passed on, so all of their wisdom is up here now. It just keeps rolling through my head. My dad used to say something. He said, if the job is worth doing, it's worth doing right the first time. You've probably heard other people say that. He used to repeat that to me. So here we have a scripture that tells us to listen to those older and wiser. So I hope the younger will pay attention to this. This is from Proverbs chapter 4. So again, we're going to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Listen, my son, and accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Wow. Bible wisdom can actually add to our lifespan? That's pretty encouraging. I'll guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Okay, so Solomon said he could guide you in the way of wisdom. I hope that's what I'm doing tonight. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. There's nothing worse than running along. You know, it's bad enough walking and tripping and stumbling, but when you're running toward a goal or something and you trip and fall, it's really bad. So we want to avoid that. And finally, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. This is interesting, the way people in the Old Testament, and especially in the nation of Israel, looked at this kind of wisdom. They didn't look at this as just something, oh, this is something in church, and then I'm going to go off and do my own thing. They looked at it as this was their life, the way they were going to live their life. So I've been paying into a bank called Experience for many years, and now I'm going to withdraw some of it and give it to you. This is how young people should value anyone who is older and wants to share their life experience and godly wisdom. Sometimes the life of a person is decided based on one or two yeses or no's uttered between the ages of 16 and 25. Now think about that a little bit. Some of you haven't hit 16 yet, or maybe that age. That is a critical time in everybody's life. Those years where you're just kind of getting out, you've gone through childhood, you're just getting out on your own, you're starting to feel that real independence from mom and dad, and now you're making some critical decisions in your life. Who do I hang out with? Where do I go to have fun? What am I going to ingest into my body? What am I going to say no to? What kind of people are going to lead me either to or from God? Sometimes one decision you're going to make in your life, a lot of good TV movies are based on this one bad decision that somebody makes that they try and they pay for the rest of their days, sometimes even into jail. So be conscious of that. The words of Solomon to his descendants are wise and loving. They were given to impress his sons that the wisdom of a loving, God-fearing parent can actually extend your life. There are many older and wiser persons in the church who are willing to teach and guide. If you're smart, you'll listen to them. If you're foolish, you'll ignore them. Point number two. Be careful with sexual desire. It is a great confuser. I know this is a sensitive thing to talk about with young children. I'm going to try and keep this very top level. First of all, let's read some scripture. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. This is talking about the effect that this can have on your own body. on your own self, and certainly on your own psyche and your mind. When you know what God says about it, when you know what God feels about it, and you decide to go a different direction, that should have a negative effect on your mind. 1 Corinthians 6:18. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:2. These are both New Testament scriptures by the Apostle Paul writing to different churches, instructing them to avoid this. So the Bible is very clear on the subject. If you listen to the world, though, you can become very confused on what the right thing to do is. Randy touched on this very much this morning, so I don't need to dwell on it, but just to reinforce the idea. Many young people have ruined their lives by not controlling their actions in this area. Who are you going to date? What is that dating going to involve? Is it going to involve some sort of physical contact? Kissing? Holding hands? Hugging? Other stuff? You're going to be faced with those decisions. The world tells us it's okay to play around with sex, to experiment. This is very dangerous. Use of alcoholic beverages will remove your defenses you have built in or have learned. Avoid it, and you'll think clearly when you need to. If this is a problem in your life, talk to an older person. They have probably experienced what you have and can give you some good advice or guide you to someone who can. This is where we need to not be shy about talking to someone. If you have a parent you can talk to, then of course that's the first person to go to. If maybe you don't feel you can talk to your parents, find somebody else you trust that you can talk to. And above all, be thankful for strict parents or grandparents. If they're asking you, where are you going to be? How long are you going to be there? What time will you be home? They love you. They want to know that you're okay. If they're overprotective, it's because they really want you to be okay. They might come in, you come in the door, they might do the sniff test. Let me smell your breath. Don't be above that, parents. And children, respect them if they ask for that kind of thing. They want to know that you're going to be okay. Continued, be careful with sexual desire. It is the great confuser. Same statement. Marriage, let's read another scripture. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Hebrews 13:4. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:15. First part. The couple in the picture have the right idea. Get to know a person from a distance. When you do, you will not confuse sexual attraction with compatibility. Internet dating is sweeping in the right track. Wait a minute. Internet dating is a step in the right direction back to a courtship where couples got to know each other before a commitment to marriage and a physical relationship. In other words, people start talking online, maybe even before they know, they share pictures and they get to know each other. This is kind of different, but people are taking a step back to an older time when courtship was a real thing where you really got to know a person. 50% of all marriages will end in divorce. A respect of marriage is a commitment to stay pure until you marry. Those of us who are older and more experienced in these things can guide you through a successful dating, courtship, and marriage if you will listen. The scripture in James is very pointed. If lust is allowed to grow, sin will be the fruit, and the payment for sin is spiritual death. Point number three, learn to save your money. Wow, what does this have to do with being a Christian? Well, it has a lot to do with it. The Bible says in Psalms 37, 25 through 26, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. You've got to learn how to do that. You've got to learn how to be taking care of your family. Let's look at another verse. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. Again, this is the difference between two types of people. The person who is chasing his dreams and the other person who decides to work and learn about things and develop skills and habits. And then as a result of that, become very smart with his money. Learning to manage and save money is a key to a successful life. If you can learn to save early, you will be more disciplined and in control of your future. This is why the righteous are able to be generous and lend freely. They have the means to do it. If you always spend all you have, you will have a lifetime of worry. Now, I got to tell a story. In my wife and my relationship, I'm the gas, she's the brakes. So when it comes to spending money, I'm the one that says, oh boy, I'd sure like to get that, I'd like to have that, I'd like to, and she's the one that says, wait a minute, let's think about this. So you see, I have this beautiful relationship of a complimentary woman who is very good with keeping me in line, keeping my desires and my needs in line, and just is a great help to me. So I want to thank her for that publicly. This leads us into point number 4. Look at this couple having fun on their bouncy balls. Boy, where did they get those? Probably Walmart. Saw one and said, hey, let's get a couple of those and we can bounce around the house all day long. Well, listen, maybe we need to learn to sacrifice some of our wants so you can have all you need. Dean Polf, how many of you remember Dean? Yep, quite a few of you. You remember him praying, Lord, help us to understand that our wants are not our needs. That lesson, if he didn't teach me anything else in life, that stuck in my brain and I'll go to the grave with that. Our wants are not our needs. That was a very wise prayer for all of us, and we should pray that more often. But you know what? Big business has made it difficult for us to understand that what we don't need and that we don't need many things to be happy. We're bombarded with advertising that suggests that having something will make us happier. But godliness and contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. What a wonderful thing to live simply. Gene and I are trying to learn about that. We're trying to clean out closets with stuff we don't want. You know, you've heard my sermon on things versus the spirit and how much that influences us. How about if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than the unbeliever. You want to become worse than the unbeliever in God's opinion? Shun your responsibilities and your finances to save money and provide for your own and your own self. Godliness is God-likeness, or the ability to look beyond the material things into the spiritual and make decisions in your life based on that. Point number 4. Point number 5. I'm sorry, I'm going to step on some toes here. I mean no offense to any one particular person because we all struggle in this. Yep, I had to bring it up, didn't I? Eat right and exercise. Your body will thank you later. What's that have to do with Scripture, with being spiritual? Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. That's a very powerful scripture there. Paints a very powerful picture. Doesn't the Bible say bodily exercise profits little? In 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, "Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that is now is and of that which is to come." Our bodies are the vehicle that allow us to serve God on this planet. If you have health issues in life, you will spend time and resources taking care of those problems instead of doing the Lord's work. As we age, we will know why the statement, "If you've got your health, you've got a lot," is so true. God does not want our appetites for anything to control us. He wants us to be controlled by His good and perfect will. The world will offer us much to satisfy the flesh, and it will take much from us. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them." Think about it. Everything you eat and this body is eventually going to be destroyed. What's left is your spirit. Give God your body and then take care of it for His service. Remember, listen to your father who gave you life, and did not despise your mother when she is old. Listen to your elders on these things. They'll give you a lot of good advice. Point number 6. This is a basic one too. Develop good habits. Well, what does habits have to do with being a Christian and being spiritual and following God? "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works." Well, this is spiritual things, talking about being spiritually showing a pattern of good works. We, the older and wiser in the church, need to encourage and exhort the younger members with a pattern of good works. In other words, talk it up and then do it. Pattern implies a consistent and repeatable action. It also is duplicatable in others. So what you do, if somebody sees you doing it and it's a good thing to do, like daily Bible study, engaging in classes, coming to class prepared with your Sunday lesson, I'm horrible on that. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. These things will teach others. If we, the old ones, are doing them, the young ones will pay attention. I've come to appreciate a life of simple habits, especially in retirement, as my life has gotten a little simpler. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to think about every little detail of life. It frees me to focus on more important things. We understand good health habits and that good health habits result in good health. Prayer, Bible study, regular attendance, and other habits will bring about spiritual health and growth. I think I've got another scripture in here. Let me bring it up. "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." What is meeting together as we're doing tonight? It's a habit we get into, and it should be a regular habit. Don't avoid it. Whenever the church meets, you should be there. You should get in that habit. You know, I have a soft spot in my heart for people who are traveling away from home. When I was in the Air Force, I left my family of wife and child, my first son Ian, and went to basic training for 6 weeks, I think it was then, and 3 months of tech school in Wichita Falls, Texas. So I was separated from my family for about 4.5 months. And that was pretty painful for me. What I was felt very good in two respects. Number one, I left my family, my wife and son, living with an older couple in the church. And I knew they would be safe and cared for. The other thing that was great is when I was on my military training, this great older couple found me out. I think they searched out a church in the area. Come to find out, it was a rather large church in Wichita Falls, about 300 members, I believe. Which, by the way, was anybody a little excited at Carol's memorial service, seeing this building full. I mean, every seat taken. That was a vision I want to keep in my head for the growth of this congregation. Because I'd like to see it like that. I'd like to see us go to two services on Sunday morning. That would be great. But anyway, when you're away from home, for college, for work, for military service, and your parents are not close by, your immediate family is not there to support you, seek the support of the Lord's church. That's the best advice I can give you. And I see some of you that are in military service that are here every Sunday, and I applaud you for that. Because you need that kind of support system. You need those good people, like this old couple that would come and pick me up and take me to lunch after services, and then they'd take me home for the afternoon, and then they'd throw me a pillow and say, there's the couch, we're going in for our nap. And so I would take a nap on their couch. It was great, though. It was a great support, and I just knew those people were there to care about me, and it kept me on the straight and narrow while I was in the military. And believe me, it's hard in the military. Point number 7. I'm doing pretty good on time. Begin with the end in sight. Set your goals in life. Well, let me get that point up there. There we go. Begin with the end in sight. Got a guy there with an archer bow, and he's shooting at that target that's out there a ways. Set some goals in life. Learn to set goals early in life. Here's an example. A young girl named Kristen, age 13, she had 3 goals. No sex before marriage, no alcoholic drinking ever, and adopt children. That was her 3 goals in life. I read that somewhere, so I wrote it into my sermon. I thought that was very appropriate. She had those goals in her life. Let's read this from 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, they don't even have the goal of including God in their life. They're so blinded by everything the devil is throwing at them, that Satan is throwing at them in the world. They don't have that. Paul has a classic goal, to press on to the prize of a heavenward calling. Let's read that. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such view of things. Did he need more other specific goals to accomplish this? Yes. His letters are full of them, right? Paul had many goals. He wanted to go and work with this church. He wanted to go over and help these brothers. He wanted to do this. He had many goals. But he had this one goal of the prize of heaven, the heavenward prize in Christ Jesus. Don't let Satan blind you to worldly desires and false promises for happiness that hide God's light. Parents, teach your children to set and achieve goals. And remember this, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Noah listened to God and followed his plan. He could not see the result, but he trusted God. He worked with his family, who also followed the leadership of Noah to serve God and build the ark. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his 3 sons and their 3 wives, became 6 of the ark occupants with Noah and his wife. The result for all of them was salvation for his family and the animals. Noah was one very wise old man we can learn from. We older folks need to be building an ark of knowledge to pass on to our children and grandchildren. We need to follow his example to save our descendants. If the generation of Noah's descendants had listened to him, all would have been faithful followers of Jehovah God. Remember, we all exist today because Noah listened to God and followed his plan for salvation of mankind. You're all here today because of Noah's wisdom. Well, let's wrap up with 7 parting shots. I love parting shots. If you don't remember any of those other ones, you might remember these. So let's pay attention to just a few parting shots here. I've got 7 more of them. By the way, let me put a picture up here. Some parents and grandparents probably feel a little bit like this guy when trying to talk to your young people and teach them a thing or two. You know, kind of like, I'm going to pound myself in the head because it's less painful. Parting shots. Most people want to serve God, but only in an advisory position. Does that sound a little familiar? Yeah, we want to be able to tell others what to do, tell God what to do, but we don't really want to get out there and work for the Lord. Exercise daily. Walk with the Lord. Never give the devil a ride. He will always want to drive. Worry is the dark room in which negatives develop. Probably see a little wisdom in that one. Here's the last three. Give Satan an inch, and he will be a ruler. I like this one. Be fishers of men. Let me get it up. Be fishers of men. You catch them, and he'll clean them. Okay? So we have to be busy about the Lord's work of bringing in the harvest. But you catch them, bring them in, give them a muscle and shovel book, give them a DVD, give them something else, sit down and teach them, use the John Rowe teaching method. You catch them, and God will clean them. And finally, don't wait for six men to carry you to church. If you're here tonight, you've heard the gospel message. I don't see any new faces in here at all. Everybody knows the gospel message. You know what you have to do. So there's no reason to go over it. My invitation is very simple. We're going to sing Song 150. Older folks, you are encouraged to spend time sharing God's wisdom and your experience with all who will listen, and especially those who are young. Younger folks, including everybody down front, younger folks, value the advice of those older and wiser and spend time learning from them. If we can help in any way, please come forward. We'll sing the song together.